So we started off our new series last week on the Lord's Prayer, and or the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. We call it the Lord's Prayer. And so Hayes kicked off last week. Were you here last week? She kicked off about our Father. And actually, you know, it was really good to do some business and just to kind of like get an understanding that God is our Father who loves us. And he, you know, he's very accepting. And, you know, God is our Father. Sometimes we think of God who's like so angry and so like, but you know what? Sometimes we think, oh, God, he has to accept me, but he doesn't really like me. But look, God loves us, doesn't he? And that's so cool. And this morning I'm going to take on, so we go, our Father who art in heaven. What's the next bit, anyone? Hallowed be your name. Hallowed. Holy is your name. So we're going to look at the holiness of God. And so I was looking at what holiness means, and then we're going to look at a little bit of what holiness means. Then we're going to look at what it means that God is holy, and what the implication is for us. So when I talk about being holy, and when the Bible says, you know, be holy as I am holy, not me, but God, you know. So when it says about being holy, you will probably think holiness means being righteous and means not sinning and walking around like, you know, being able to just say, I am a very holy person, you know. And so we used to have ideas about what being holy is. When I first got saved, it was very holy not to go to the cinema. Do you agree? Who remembers that? Who's been in the AOG for 50 years or 40 years? When you were younger, some of you weren't allowed to go to dances, you know. Oh, dancing is very not holy. In the 60s, guitar was very unholy. Did you know that? Oh, don't bring guitar into the worship team. Let's keep with the organ. It's not very holy at all, you know. In the 70s and 80s, you know, women weren't allowed to wear makeup and high heels. Oh, it's very unholy for women to look good in the Sunday, you know. So we should all go to church minging. And we have ideas. We make it up. We make up rules. Do you know that? We make up rules in our head because we don't understand things. And we set these unspoken rules and standards, and we put it on other people. And the problem is we start to judge other people as well, which gets really ugly, and we start to judge someone as holy or not holy. And I want to give you an understanding of what holiness is from the Bible. And yes, I want you to know that God gives us grace. Holy Spirit empowers us so we can say no to sin. But holiness is a separate issue altogether, separate being a key word. Are you ready for this? Who's ready for this? If you've got your Bibles, which Anthea's ready, I like to see Anthea give me a wave there. And so if you've got your Bibles, turn with me to Leviticus chapter 20, verses 26. It says this: You are to be holy to me because I, the Lord, am holy, and I've set you apart from the nations to be my own. Set you apart. So holiness, I'm going to look at in the original language, you know, because it's only one word to remember. This is, you know, just one word, really easy. You can pull this out when you're with your friends down the pub or whatever, you know. Did you know that the word holiness comes from the Hebrew, HaKadesh, HaKadosh? Who knows what Kadosh means? It means holy. And who knows what it means? Literally, it means set apart, consecrated. In 1 Peter 1, verses 15 to 16, I hope it's up there because you can get there quicker than I can. It says this: But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. Because as we just read, be holy because I am holy. Next verse says, yeah, we'll keep going, mate, 70. I know I've thrown you there because I didn't give you that one, did I? To the church of God. Well, okay, never mind that, mate. It's all right. I mean in 1 Peter. I've got it, I'll free you. So, it means this, the Greek word. Who knows what the Greek word for holiness is? This will really get you some points. Anyone? Oh, good, we're going to learn something new. It means hagion. Everyone say hagion. Hagion. So, all you've got to remember is two words, kodesh, kadosh, which means set apart, and hagion, hagion, which means, anyone have an idea? In the English, it means set apart by God and for God. Set apart by God and for God. Verses 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 17 says this: Since you call on a father, we looked about father last week, didn't we? Abba, father, who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. So he says, be holy as I am holy, and be holy and live holy, live like foreigners. So this is a clue about what I'm going to say this morning. Live like foreigners. What does it mean to live foreigners? So being holy, like we have an idea of what being holy is, and we have a preconception. It means not sinning, being righteous, looking righteous, you know, everyone being like, I don't know what our modern day equivalent is. Maybe we're supposed to look like, you know, good little Christian boys and girls, or, you know, Ned Flanders or something. But holiness means something completely different. We're not supposed to all look the same, sound the same, dress the same, and have some air of dignity. It's false humility, false pride and dignity, and judging each other and talking like Flanders. Actually, what it means is living in a different dimension altogether. You see, it's not about what you do. It's about who God is. Okay? It's not about being good little Christian boys and girls and conforming to some kind of unspoken codes and rules that we set on each other. It's about a different supernatural dimension altogether. It's something that God is, and it's something that God gives. You understand? God is holy. He gives us his holiness. It's about grasping the fact that we don't get holy by trying to speak a certain way, act a certain way. Holiness, the opposite of holiness, by the way, is not sin. From the biblical language understanding, from the understanding of the Bible, the opposite of holiness is the common, is the ordinary. God has called us to live supernatural, extraordinary, set-apart lives for God. And when you understand who you are in Jesus, that you are supernatural, set apart, and you are not ordinary, that will empower you then to live lives that are big and maxed out for Jesus. That will empower you to say no to sin on a daily basis. It will also empower you to be a witness of Jesus Christ that you're called to be. It will empower you to live victoriously. Who wants a bit of that? I want to live victoriously, you know? And so it's about a different dimension. Yes, God wants us to be clean, and yes, we do need to say no to sin on a daily basis, but it's more than that. It's about where we stand and how we stand, and it's about seeing yourself as not part of the ordinary, not a part of, we're supposed to live like foreigners, almost like aliens in the earth, because we don't belong to the earth, we belong to God, we belong to Jesus. This is not our home. This is not our home. So how can, if it means, if holiness is to do with how good we are and how well behaved we are and how we talk and act, like it's to do with sin, then therefore God calls certain things holy. How can they be holy? He calls, for example, the Saturday, the Sabbath day holy. Does that mean Saturday sins less than Monday? It doesn't mean that, does it?
No.
He calls the burning bush holy. Was the burning bush better behaved than the thorn bush, you know? Or Mount Sinai, did that sin less than the other mountains? Let me tell you what the difference is. Let me tell you what makes something holy. The thing that made, the very same thing that made these things holy, is the very same thing that makes us holy, is the presence of God. Divine exchange takes place when you give your life to Jesus Christ and you follow Jesus and you choose to turn away from your life of sin and you choose to repent and follow Jesus. This is what happens. He takes your ordinary. He takes your ordinary. He takes your cloak and gives you his cloak. And what he gives you is his holiness, and his presence dwells within you. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Isn't Abba, remember what last week when Hayes was preaching, isn't Father amazing? Doesn't it blow you away that God loves us so much? Here's another dimension as well, just tying in with that, is that God makes his home in us. That's pretty mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
By the Holy Spirit, he dwells in us. And we become the temple of the Holy Spirit. You know this teaching. Therefore, we become holy as he is holy. And so people have, you know, I met somebody, you know, I know somebody who was trying to be holy. So they took a vow of silence. It was super weird. They weren't even a monk or a nun. I'm like, what are you doing? I was trying to get them to talk. I'm like, you know what I mean? You know when you were the soldiers down Buckingham Palace? I was like, you know what? I was like punching them and all of this, but they weren't talking. I'm like, writing down, it's a vow of silence. We do weird things, don't we? When I first got saved, I was super on fire for Jesus, but one thing I did was I started to throw away all my DVDs and CDs. It's worldly, it's sinful. It's like I threw away some Disney DVDs, believe it or not, do you know what I mean? Full of witchcraft and, do you know what I mean? It's Toy Story, for goodness sake, leave it alone. You know what I mean? Everything was a curse. There was a demon in everything. It was like, there's a demon in that. What do you mean there's a demon? It's just a mobile phone. Well, there's something hidden. I can hear it. You know what I mean? But you see, the thing is, the opposite of holy is not sinful, but it is ordinary. And so what it means is if we can live in an understanding that we are holy because of the presence of God, because something God's given to us, that will empower us to choose to say no to sin. Not to judge other people and not to be better than everyone, to kind of like float around, you know what I mean, like a nun. Float around down Tesco choosing your food, you know what I mean? We're not supposed to look a certain way, act a certain way. God calls individuals and he places his spirit. This is the amazing thing about the Spirit of God. So people from every tribe and every nation and every tongue and every persuasion and every look and every whatever, God can save anybody and make his home in that person, and that person becomes holy. This is hinting at the life we can live. We can live non-ordinary lives. Who wants to live an extraordinary supernatural life every day? There is no reason why you cannot have an understanding of yourself as supernatural, extraordinary. You can live super abundant, maxed out, anointed lives for Jesus Christ every single day of the week. I believe that we could live so much bigger than we do, you know. We could live in such victory. We could pray for the sick and see them healed. We could have faith and courage to share the gospel and believe that people will be saved. We can live such victorious lives over sin that literally sin doesn't have to have a hold on us anymore. The blood of Jesus means we can be free from those habits. We're on a journey, and the destination is always Jesus. And Jesus doesn't have kind of like standards like we do. He doesn't judge us in terms of success. We judge people's success on certain things, you know, how many people are in their church, how big is their ministry, or how much is in their bank account, or this or that, or this. Jesus doesn't judge nothing. He's looking at the heart. And we're on this journey, and there's no need to get caught up in stations along the way, habits of sin, and just get lost and caught up and go backwards and off the path and all of this stuff. We can stay on the path, keep our eyes forward, keep moving towards Jesus when we live and walk as separated, as supernatural, as anointed, and as holy, because he is holy, yeah? And that's why we're holy. Peter is actually right. When Peter says, be holy because God is holy, and live your life like foreigners and aliens, Peter's actually writing this book to encourage them because they're being persecuted, despite the fact you're being persecuted, like we heard from the guys in Israel. And I really appreciate the fact that we look at who we support, and I think that's good. I think that encourages us when we're sowing into this, in this church, that we're also sowing into other nations, which is massive, which I think is really great. But when we are being persecuted, when we're suffering, we can still live abundant, supernatural, separated lives because we're holy. Your circumstances doesn't mean you're not blessed. Your bank account, how you feel, if you're sick, if you're this, if you're a Christian, you shouldn't be sick. That's nonsense. You know, sometimes we've got these bodies, and one day we'll have new bodies. That's cool. We don't judge each other. There must be sin in their life because they're unwell. Do you know what I mean? Who says that? That stuff is crazy. Stop doing it, please. We are a chosen royal. This is what Peter says. You are a holy people, a royal priesthood. It's pretty massive, isn't it? And he's speaking to people being persecuted. At the bottom of the tier in the world's eyes, the people who are the poorest and the humblest and suffering the most, Peter says, you are the people who are set apart and extraordinary and supernatural, and you are the people who are holy to God. Wow. It means, Peter, one of the Greek words means peculiar. You are a peculiar people. Yes, you are. Super weird. No. It doesn't mean that. It means separated, special, called out. As in chosen. As in, like, God looks after you. God sees you as like, well, how would you look after £1 million note? Or do you know what I mean? Or how would you look after your best china? Whose nan's got the best china? My nan, she's got this cupboard with the best china in. I've never seen it come out in all our years. 39 years on this earth, I've never seen the best china come out, you know. And every now and then, you look after your best china, don't you? Sometimes you have to give it a clean. You bring it out if the queen comes and all of this. But this is how sometimes we need a clean in life. Sometimes, you know, Jesus washed his disciples' feet, and Peter said, well, wash all of me. And Jesus said, you're clean. You're free from sin. But sometimes along the journey, your feet get dirty. You just need to come in my presence, and you just need to come and get, you know, and repent sometimes. Sometimes you just need to get back on the path. But listen, you are holy. Holy to God. Live big. The very thing that makes us holy is the presence of God, because God lives us, Holy Spirit lives in us, he dwells in us, and we become holy and set apart. And you are God's, you are Jesus' special possession. Jesus' special china, like my nan's special china. He looks after you. He doesn't see you as the ordinary cups that you'll just bring out for anyone. If I come round your house, you'll just give me any old mug. If the queen come round, it'll be like best china, you know. You are God's best china. His special, special, special possession. When Paul wants the Corinthians to deal with sin, he reminds them, first of all, they're holy. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 2, it says this. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 2, it says, to the church of God in Corinth, to those sanctified in Christ Jesus and called to be his holy, set apart, extraordinary, supernatural people, together with everyone who calls on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then he gets to what he wants them. He reminds them who they are, and then he deals with all of the issues that are in the Corinth church. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 3, it says this, you are still worldly. For since there is jealousy and quarreling among you, you're just acting worldly. You're acting like mere humans. So first of all, even though they're behaving like a bunch of kids and doing all kinds of naughty things and being bad, he reminds them, first of all, you are holy and set apart. I want to remind you who you are. You'll get it in your minds, and so you will live and act out of that place of who you are in Jesus. You're not mere humans. You're not supposed to look and sound and just be like everyone else. You're supposed to be special, supernatural. You're supposed to be super abundant and set apart like aliens on the earth. Wow. We're not mere humans. That's pretty cool. We are partakers of the divine nature. Supernaturally anointed and empowered. And so Paul wants to encourage them who they are so they'll start living and acting that way. And that's the purpose this morning, is I want us to know who we are in Jesus. We are holy, so that we'll live like that and start living in that place and start acting as if you are holy to God and start thinking that way and start knowing that you are different. You're not just ordinary. You're not supposed to just sound and look the same. You don't have to be defeated by anything, by circumstance, by suffering, or by sin. You can overcome everything in Jesus' name. Amen? And so here's a really big key, point number two, the really big key to understanding and living this way and living big lives. Who wants to live a big life of Jesus? I think we all do, don't we? I think one of the keys is this: hallowed be your name. Hallowed be your name. Turn to someone and say, God is holy. So this is what I'm saying right now. Peter goes on to write in 2 Peter, he says, honor Jesus Christ as holy. The key to knowing this and living this is honoring God as holy above everything else. No matter what is going on, you honor God as holy. You honor God as massive, you know? You honor God as nothing is impossible. No matter what you're facing, you can say, it doesn't even matter because God is holy. God is amazing. You elevate Jesus above everything else in your life, and then you can live holy, supernatural lives. Elevate Jesus above every stress and strain, above every kind of thing that takes your time. Put Jesus, only put Jesus on a pedestal. Don't put anything else on a pedestal. That's idolatry. Put Jesus above money. Put Jesus above circumstance, above stress, above pain, above sickness. Sometimes it doesn't even matter how long we've been saved, we can get complacent. And the Lord's Prayer teaches us to honor God in our hearts as well as our heads. Just have it centered in our heart. God is holy. God is holy. Jesus is holy. And, you know, it is well. No matter what's going on, we can say it is well with our soul. Because Jesus is holy. Other stuff sometimes get in and it can be like an idol to us. And it focuses our mind. And like we get focused and obsessed with certain things or circumstances or worries or some things we start to love more than God or we spend more money, more time, more thoughts on these things. But if you just honor Jesus holy, elevate Jesus and purge these kind of like idols in your life, that for me is a key to living holy lives. And I want to live a holy life. Lift Jesus higher. Who remembers that song? Lift Jesus higher. Lower, lower. Do you remember that? Yeah. Classic. Oh, we want to sing that, don't we? Lower, lower. Thank you. It's so old, isn't it? You see, this is how old we are now. Like we're nearly 40 years old. Jesus is the King. When you see how holy Jesus is, you'll start to see who you are in Jesus. Yeah. And start to live different, act different. And it comes from a place of not trying to be a good little Christian boy and girl, you know, not be a judgmental, you know, self-righteous, self-important person. But it will come from a place of knowing, you know what, I'm set apart for God. I'm going to live a set apart life. I am going to consecrate. This is what I'm going to, you know, this is how we're going to bring this around. I'm going to consecrate my life daily to Jesus because he is holy and he's made me holy. Honor him as holy. Make him the secret place, a strong tower. Here's another old song for you. The name of the Lord. Wow. Yes. Honor. Wow, we're carrying on. That's good. And no matter what the storm, no matter what sufferings are going on, make Jesus your secret place. Make him your strong tower and be sensitive to his honor, you know. Live your life for Jesus' honor. Honor Jesus as holy. Honor Jesus above everything else. And then you'll never get into a place of entrapment in sin. You never get into that place of depression and oh, whoa, the whole world's against me, you know, and this and that. You'll just live victorious. You know what? This is going on. This is going on. But thank God. You, Jesus, you are holy, you are victorious, you have won. The key to courage is to know who we are in Jesus. We can grow, we can overcome, we can have victory when we know just how amazing Jesus. And if you take Jesus in your heart, he takes you in his heart, and have it always in your mind as well, all the time. Jesus is holy, Jesus is one. There's no reason why you should ever be defeated. And so I'm going to finish. My last point this morning is I want to finish with something really cool. Who wants to see something cool from the scriptures? So in 1 Samuel chapter 18, go to 3-5. It says this. Thank you. And Jonathan made a covenant with David. Now I see this. I'll explain what that made a covenant means. Because he loved him as himself. So Jonathan took off the robe he was wearing and gave it to David along with his tunic and even his sword, his bow, and his belt. And whatever mission Saul sent him on, David was so successful. Saul gave him a high rank. This pleased all the troops and the officers as well. So Jonathan made a covenant with David. In the Hebrew, that word made, it doesn't mean they wrote a covenant. It means they cut a covenant. When you make a covenant in the Bible, you cut a covenant because normally there's blood involved. And so, for example, I think I've explained before how when God made a covenant with Abraham, do you remember this? They sacrificed some birds and tore them in half and some other animals. And then what the idea is, you're supposed to, when you make a covenant in ancient times, you're supposed to walk between the animals and say, if I break this covenant, may I become like these animals, dead. Because I love you as I love myself. I'm making you my people. I will fight for you. I will die for you. And if I fail to do that, then may I be dead. Did you know that God didn't require Abraham? If you read it, if you study it, Abraham didn't have to pass through. God put Abraham in a deep sleep, and then Abraham had a vision and saw God as a flaming fire pot pass through. So God was saying, listen, we're going to make a covenant. I'm going to give you all I am, and I'm going to love you. I'm going to take you as my very own. I'm not even going to require anything from you. You're not going to have to shed your blood. I will shed my blood if this covenant is broken. Isn't that amazing? Because what happens? We break the covenant, we sin, we turn our back on God, and who shed their blood for us? Jesus. Isn't it amazing? In ancient times, both parties have to pass through the animals, but only God passed through. So when you make a covenant, you cut a covenant. And so Jonathan and David cut a covenant. And it's not so that we don't get saved. It's not like a ticket to heaven. It's about a relationship. It's about a journey, isn't it? Are you with me, people? So what Jonathan and David are saying is this, listen, I love you as I love myself. I'm going to give you total loyalty even to the point of death. I would die for you, you will die for me. I will partner with you, you will partner with me. I give you total, utter commitment. I will consider it as a joy to give my life for you. Remember Jesus, it says in Hebrews, for the joy set before me endured the cross. There's nothing joyful about dying on a cross. The joy for Jesus was knowing that he's winning us, reaching us, saving us. And when you read love and kindness, you also read loyalty and commitment. And it's not just some kind of like mushy, pathetic, kind of like sloppy love that we know in our songs or movies. This is the love that would die for us on the cross and loved us more than we loved him, loved us before we loved him, loved us while we hated him and died for us while we were sinning and turning our back on him. And so when David and Jonathan made a commitment, a covenant, there was a symbolic exchange that took place. Did you see that? Jonathan gives David his robe. This is what happened when you make a covenant. You kind of like swap robes. You identify yourself with the person you're making a covenant with. Jonathan and David. David was a shepherd. He would swap his filthy shepherd robe, smells. Shepherds were very much the bottom of the pile in Israel, you know, very much an unclean people. Because with animals and animals' feces and all of this stuff. And he takes his unclean shepherd robe and Jonathan gives him his princely, because he's the son of the king. He gives him his princely warrior's robe. It's massive. Jonathan is saying, I identify myself with you, David. And you can identify yourself with me. They are identifying with each other. Did you know that Jesus gives us his robe and takes our filthy, stained, sinful robes? Did you know that? When you give your life to Jesus, he gives you his robe. He takes your sin, your separation. He takes your failure and your sickness and all your disease and everything else that's filthy, and he gives you his robe of righteousness and holiness. When you identify with Jesus and when you honor Jesus as holy, you will start to understand who you are in Jesus because the robe he's given you to wear. Jonathan gave David his weapons and David probably handed him his sling, you know. We have the weapons of Jesus to fight in this battle. We have the weapons. We have prayer. Did you know with prayer, nothing is impossible because nothing is impossible with God. And when you have faith, and when you know who God is, and when you know that the Bible says, you know, according to the will of whatever we ask, we shall receive in Jesus' name, we do believe. We literally don't have to fear a single thing on the planet. Because we know our God is with us. He takes our ordinary robe and gives us his extraordinary robe. He takes our weakness and gives us his strength. He takes our common, our ordinary, and gives us his holy. It's a gift from God. Nothing can touch us. And he gives us all his weapons. And he says, listen, my enemy is your enemy. Your enemy is my enemy. And who knows that when God is fighting for you, you've already won. Abba, Father, who we heard about Father last week. Father is fighting for you. That's pretty massive, isn't it? If our God is for us, who could be against us? At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow. I love how God, Aaron in the Bible, in Exodus chapter 28, verses 2 to 3, Aaron in the Bible, a few chapters previously, he'd built a calf for the Israelites to idolatry worship, yeah? He was very weak. And then he lied about it to Moses. If you read the story, he says, look, the people, they just threw their earrings in the fire and out came this calf. Lying, weak leader, led them into sin. And look what God does. He takes that sin and that weakness and that patheticness, makes sacred garments for Aaron to give him dignity and honor. Isn't it amazing that God gives us dignity and honor? Father God loves us and he gives us honor and dignity and he makes us holy. In verse 36, it says this, for Aaron who did that. Make a plate of pure gold and engrave on it as a seal, holy to the Lord. Do you know that seal is on your head by the power of the Holy Spirit? You can't hear me now, can you? It's all right, I'll just use this one. Thanks. Cool. Holy to the Lord. We're engraved like a seal on our heads. It says holy to the Lord. That's pretty cool, isn't it? Do you know what I mean? Do you know why you are supernatural, set apart, that you can live like aliens and you can live big and live victorious and live super abundant max lives, and you can daily defeat sin in your life and daily overcome and daily not get discouraged, but daily just be encouraged and be an encourager? It's because you're holy to the Lord, and it says it right there. If you're in Jesus, that is the seal of the Holy Spirit. They cut a covenant. Just like Abraham and God went through the shed animals. Do you know what they did in ancient times to make a covenant? This is what they did. They would do this thing. I wish I had two hands. They would, you would cut yourself on your hand. This is how ancient people made a covenant. And then you'd rub ash in it. Oh, that's not very clean, is it? They might get poorly. It makes a tattoo. So every time you see your friend and you wave at your friend, they remember the covenant, you see. Also, every time the enemy sees your hand, they know who your backup is. Uh-oh, that person is connected. You see where I'm going with this? We have the seal of Jesus Christ on us by the Holy Spirit. The enemy sees who we belong to. They know who our backup is. Abba, Father. Jesus has us on the palm of his hands marked forever. Your name. And every time you sometimes feel weak and sometimes you feel this and sometimes you're crying out to God, forgive me, help me. He sees and remembers the covenant he's made with you and he intercedes. Is that not amazing? What a gift. I love that. Let's all get toed now. And you know what they would do after they cut themselves? After there was a cutting, there has to be some kind of cutting. And then exchanging of the robes and identifying with each other what they would do after. To finish the ceremony, they would have a meal of bread and wine. Like the Lord's Supper, innit? Or what do we call it? Communion. They would take bread and wine together and celebrate and eat with each other and fellowship with each other, and it's sealed. I commit, I identify myself with you. I commit to give myself for you. I'd even die for you. Your enemies are my enemies. I commit to love you as I love myself, and I commit always to give myself to you. Isn't it amazing? That's what we do every time we take communion. That's what Jesus does with us, and that's what happens. That's what takes place. And it doesn't even require us to shed our blood. He shed his blood for us. This isn't an equal covenant. This is a covenant where God has literally done everything. So holiness, his robe, it comes from God. It's a sin. And so as I finish this morning, I'm going to conclude now. There's certain keys I want us to remember this morning. When we say, "Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name," I want us to kind of like have a genuine understanding of what it means, because God is holy. Be holy as your heavenly Father is holy. Don't live ordinary. Don't live common. Don't get caught up in common civilian affairs, as Paul would say. Live like a warrior. Live like a soldier. Live like someone who's victorious, someone who is genuinely set apart and extraordinary, someone who can live a supernatural life because we have a supernatural God. Honor Jesus as holy above everything else. Elevate him above your worries, your circumstances. Elevate Jesus above every single thing on the earth. Elevate Jesus above it all. And honor Jesus as holy. And understand this. Understand that God, Jesus, because you are marked on his hand forever, is watching and caring for you.
Yeah.
Every single day. Is that amazing?
It's amazing.
He's given you his weapons to overcome sin, overcome circumstance. He's caring for you. He's delighting for you. There's a word in the Hebrew which says, when it says your God delights over you, the Hebrew literally means this. He dances and spins around in joy at the thought of you. Is that wonderful? He protects you. He blesses you. His ears are attentive to you because you are holy, because he is holy. Because when you put your faith in Jesus, he gives you his robe. So church, I want to encourage you this morning to live big, supernatural, abundant, maxed out lives for Jesus. To live victorious. To live as a witness of Jesus Christ. Whatever you do this week, just live big for Jesus, yeah?
and be holy because God is holy. Not because you've earned yourself some holiness with your behavior and your not wearing makeup and your not going to dances and to the cinema, whatever. And not to judge each other, but to live big and to believe for big. Kadosh means set apart. Hagion means separated by God and for God. It means different. It means taking, identifying yourself with Jesus, taking the nature of Jesus as your own. And as I finish, the key to this is honor. Honor God as holy. Don't elevate stresses or circumstances or sickness or anything else or fear. Honor God as holy. Number two, honor each other as holy. That's important. Love one another. By this they will know that you're my disciples, that you love one another. John, who wrote constantly, love one another, love is the key, love one another, God is love, 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 love. Honor each other as holy means not judging each other as not holy. Not putting that thing, these unspoken rules that you've got made up in your head and putting it on other people and judging them. But loving them, and if they are in Christ, honoring them as holy. That means encouraging them, bless them, pray for them, genuinely root for them. And when they succeed, celebrate with them and don't get all jealous and weird and insecure. Honor each other as holy. And finally, live holy. Live big, live maxed, and overcome habits and be consecrated to God. I'm going to give us an opportunity just in a moment where we can reconsecrate ourselves to Jesus. This is a good thing to do. We should do it daily. I'm going to give us an opportunity. We're all going to stand. I'm not going to I don't want anyone to say, I don't want to live. If you're in Jesus, I'm going to make you stand. And we're going to consecrate and we're going to choose to live holy. Not yet though, not yet. Everyone just stay. At the edge of the seat, we're ready. We want to consecrate today, which is excellent, you know. And we're going to live set apart holy. We're going to live big for Jesus because Jesus is holy.